Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday and another spring-like day edition of The Drive. It's 70s outside again. This is just crazy. I mean,
got some rain too, right? I mean,
Then we got some warmth. Then we got some more rain, and now we have sunshine.
Yeah.
So
welcome
again,
to Alabama.
No kid. Welcome to winter. Welcome to winter
in
semester.
Auburn. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be pretty hot and dry for the next 90 days or so. I know we got the drought alerts.
It's gonna get cooler again for a couple of days. The start of next week, and then warm back up.
Because we're under drought conditions in Lee County. You're supposed to be conserving. Watching your water use and things like that. And rain helps a little bit with that. But I think
we got some heavy rain overnight.
Yes, we did.
There was some heavy rain overnight. So we needed that.
It's going to be 24 Monday night.
Yeah, how about that? Let's go from 80 to 24 in just
a couple
of days.
Monday's 45.
40 something. Yeah. But look at the end of the week. At the end of the week next week. It's back in the 60s or 70s. Yeah.
Next Saturday, 70.
That's great. Enjoy it while you can, folks. Welcome into the Friday Drive. That's Dan and Don, and I'm Bill, and we are here with you for the next couple of hours. Love for you to join in, talk whatever you would like in the world of sports. I showed Don a picture, Tex and his wife, out in Arlington. They're already at the ballpark. And they met up with Bub Terrell, as a matter of fact, just sort of wandering around that fabulous facility out there at Globe Life. So got baseball coming up tonight. Got Auburn-Alabama gymnastics tonight. And then Auburn-Kentucky basketball tomorrow. Two teams whose fan bases don't know what to think. I mean, for Kentucky fans, it's been, I mean, this is a situation that is just expected year in and year out that Kentucky is going to be there at or near the top of the league and should win most, if not all, of their ball games.
Yeah, but Kentucky's usually, and Coach, you've watched this, if you go back to, let's start when Calipari arrived, right? I mean, you can obviously cite a lot of Kentucky basketball before that, but just going back the last 15 years or so of Kentucky basketball, they've usually been excellent at something, right? Like, they've usually been either they've been an overwhelming transition offense, or they've been a swarming defense with their athletic. Like, they've had a specialty. They've had a trademark they can hang their hat on. This team, you look in conference play, they're in the middle of the pack in, like, a lot of stats in the SEC.
They do lead the SEC in one.
I know they're the best three-point shooting. Yep. And in fact, Auburn's defense,
this is like the movable object against the resistant. The resistible force.
Well, no. When one's really good, it's the immovable object versus
the irresistible force.
But the other one's really bad.
Yeah. So you're wondering. It's like. It's
like a hammer versus a nail is what it is. I mean, Kentucky is what Bill's referring to. Mm-hmm. Is that Kentucky in SEC play leads the conference in 3-point shooting? Kentucky is by percentage. They're hitting about 37% of their threes in SEC play. It's the best 3-point shooting offense in the league in that category. In fact, three of the top four are going to be teams Auburn sees between now and the end of the season. Oklahoma's two, Alabama's four.
That's great. That is just great when you are the bottom. You are the worst team in the SEC in 3-point defense.
Yes, teams are hitting 40% of their threes.
Teams
in
are
SEC
hitting higher.
Play.
That's right. Teams are shooting a higher percentage than the best shooting team in the league is shooting.
There are only I want to say the numbers 5 or 6 D1 programs this year.
There are actually 10 of the 313
that are shooting 40% from three on the season.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think any
and
of them.
Most of those aren't D1, but I mean, yes.
Well, they're all D1, but I don't think any of them are major conference.
No, that's
right.
I think you got to go.
You got to go to the mid-major ranks to find like most of these teams, and maybe all of them. So it's it's pretty impressive, pretty remarkable. what Auburn's been able to do, and it's a big reason why they find themselves in what feels like a must-win game tomorrow night. Like I mean, it's look, you can still make the NCAA tournament with a loss tomorrow night. It's still conceivable.
It's conceivable. It's not as likely.
You probably have to win out. Maybe you could, and I mean, I think
you better make a run in the SEC tournament. If you
win three of your next five, if you lose to Bama and Kentucky and win the other three, that would put you at 17-14 going to the national
tournament. Yeah, and it would put you at 5-12 or 13 in quad one games, and you would have lost seven of your last
now,
10.
Oklahoma is now a quad
that's
one.
That's why it would be five.
Yeah, you would pick up a fifth quad one win in that situation. That at Oklahoma right now is a quad one game. Mm-hmm. But no, you'd be 17-14.
Yeah, 17-14
going into the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. I think you would be squarely on the bubble in that situation. And maybe it's because the bubble's not great right now.
Yeah.
I would say that probably sends you to Dayton.
Well, I'm just seeing
but it's close.
Right now, the average spot for Auburn in all the projections is around a 10 seed, nine or a 10 seed. But there's some folks now that don't have Auburn in. I mean, Auburn is not unanimously in the way it was a week ago. You know, Auburn was in on everybody's, on everybody's projections before the loss in Starkville. So, I think every additional loss makes it tough. It makes it more difficult to say, yeah, they're in. Period.
Oh no, and I think they would. I think they'd probably be on the wrong side losing to Kentucky on Saturday. I think most projections would have them out of the tournament. I know Stephen hinted at that earlier this week in media. So I mean, this is a gigantic game for Auburn. You don't have that many more chances to move the needle. You need to find a way to reverse course on what's gone wrong over the last couple of games. And I don't know. I mean, I think that at this point, like, if you had told me before the season started, hey, Auburn might fall just short of the NCAA tournament, I would say, well, that's probably pretty disappointing. But in a head coach's first year with an entirely new team aside from Todd Pettiford, things can happen. Things can go wrong. It's probably not the end of the world. Now, for Auburn to miss the NCAA tournament, when you think about where they were after the Florida game, like for Auburn to go from, in the span of about 7 or 8 weeks, for Auburn to go from solidly in the NCAA tournament, a 6, I think some people maybe even went as bold as saying a 5 after Auburn beat Florida, to go from that in about 7 or 8 weeks to out of the tournament completely would represent pretty significant collapse.
It would, but a lot of teams that don't make it go through that same type thing.
I think this would especially feel
worse because you felt like, we're there. It would sort of be like the other night when you got the 7-point lead.
Yes.
And you thought, okay, good. We're going to, regardless of how ugly it was early on, we're going to take care of this one, and then you don't.
And it just,
that's sort of what it would feel like.
And it just seems like it would be, I mean, to end year one that way, like, and go into an off season that way would make it really tough on a guy who I think it's all understood. Like even if you're out on Stephen Pearl now, and I know I've heard some people, Bill, you probably have too. That are just like convinced. All right, well, this isn't going to work. Auburn should reverse course right now. Auburn should Auburn should give him a year and then make a change. Stuff like that. We talked about it a little bit with David Pascal yesterday. Like I don't think we live in a world where that's a possibility, nor should it be, unless Stephen demonstrates that he absolutely shouldn't have the job, which I don't think you're talking about right now. I would say if you're out on Stephen right now, you could be proven right. you know, a little, you could be like.
Yeah, you could be. Like, I mean, sure. I mean, you could be right on anybody after a year, but a lot of people's first year is their worst year.
Sure. And I think that it's, I mean, I would acknowledge while telling folks, like, you should be more patient than that with Stephen Pearl, I would still say there's immense pressure for him to make the NCAA tournament in year two. If the team were to miss the NCAA tournament this year,
you cannot
paint over. If he takes over a team that went to the Final Four and misses the NCAA tournament completely in both of his first two seasons, you can't suggest that things are going well in that. So that's
no, why. I can't. But let me say, and there are people. The other thing that you know that I hear a lot of people saying is, Bruce wouldn't be anywhere near this if he were coaching. No. There's no way
very
of knowing
easy to
that.
Say that. Very easy
There's
to say
no
that
way of knowing that, and Bruce never had to retool a roster as completely as was done in the offseason. Granted, Bruce did it. I mean, these players came here to play for Bruce. I'm not going to say, well, you just got to let it slide and don't be concerned at all about it. But there are plenty of instances where coaches who are really, really highly thought of right now struggled in their first year.
Sure.
I mean, you look at the defending national champs. What was Todd Golden's record his first year? He came in. Now, granted, you know, it was an upgrade. Florida felt it was a big upgrade. But Mike White had won 20 games the year before Todd Golden came in and went 16-17 at Florida in his first year. So, I mean, what was Nate Oates' record his first year at Alabama? I believe it was like 18-17. So, I mean, there are coaches who are very successful now, but that's not to guarantee that because you struggle your first year, everything's going to be fine. What I'm saying is I think you have to see how things go after year one. You can't just unless you just know that the players were out of control. There is, you know, everybody's given up. They've tanked. They hate their coach. They're all, you know, that type thing. Then maybe you could be more, you know, adamant about, this just can't continue.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think that it's in a world where, I know, telling folks we got to be a little more patient with anything is tough. And I'm not going to pretend you have to be so patient that, and that's where, like, a year from now.
Oh, yes.
If we're sitting here talking about
the same type of situation a year from now, then it's like, wow, are things going to get better?
Yeah, and how do you project? Oh, well, it'll work in year three, right? And that's why this next week is huge. This next month is huge for Steven. This offseason is going to be huge for Steven as far as who stays and who goes and where he can make upgrades. And next season is gigantic. And I think if he can reverse the trajectory right now and get an NCAA tournament berth in year one, you know, I think he buys himself a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know,
a little bit more grace and a little bit more wiggle room in year two. I've said it all week, and I think, like, because I don't want – I hope nobody's pushing back on this. If Auburn were to miss the NCAA tournament this season, there would and there should be immense pressure on Stephen Pearl to make the NCAA tournament in his second season. Like, there's – I don't think – I mean, is there disagreement on that?
At just about any school who has had success for a sustained period – yes, the expectation is, you're going to be in the tournament. How high a seed are you going to be? You know, and if you don't make it, then yes, you absolutely feel that pressure of making it the next year.
Yeah, and we had someone ask us, like, oh, well, how often is it that a team makes the Final Four and misses the NCAA tournament completely? I pointed out, no, it's a different era because it's 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like Billy Donovan had to start over after going back-to-back with national champions at Florida, and that team didn't make the NCAA tournament in the first year afterward. And it's like sometimes when you're starting over, how about this, Coach? You've had rooms where it was a bunch of seniors doing all the production, and a year later, they're all gone, and it's different. Oh. It's not the end of the world.
No.
Doesn't mean you forgot how to coach.
No.
But sometimes these things can take a little bit of time. Now, If it's taking too much time, someone else might get to coach that room.
Right, and also now with the portal, you're expected to probably reload faster, which is unfortunate for some. But that's the way it is, and, you know, we've created monsters. You know, Auburn's been so good the last, you know, 7 to 8 years and two Final Fours, and then, you know, it's just tough. But, hey, same thing with the other guy, Pope. He's under pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
my
indeed.
My goodness. Oh, yeah. They're ready to run him off, and they've been up and down. You talk about a yo-yo season. They look terrible. You know, got beat at home by Georgia, yeah, which is not a bad team, but come on.
No, this time last week, Kentucky was thinking about, like, well, what?
Yeah, they'd won like 8 out of 9. They were you know, pushing for the top spot. They were right there.
Yeah, now they've lost 2 in a row.
Yep.
No, this time last week, Kentucky's thinking if you go to Florida and you beat Florida in Gainesville, like, the SEC standings are wide open at the top.
Yeah.
Kentucky and Arkansas and Florida would all be jockeying for position.
Yeah,
instead,
Alabama,
back-to-back losses at an inopportune time, and a Kentucky team that thought they'd figured some things out.
Right, and then looked so bad.
Now you have some familiar problems pop up, and losing at home to Georgia, like, it's Georgia's a tournament team, but I think it's like losing at home to A&M or Missouri, or I think some folks would say Auburn, where it's like it's not as though the best team in the SEC came to your gym and beat you, and you can explain it away. It's a game where you might have gotten outworked and outcoached and outplayed and out-hustled by a team.
And now
with
they come here,
skill.
And then they go to South Carolina Tuesday or Wednesday. So, and they still got A&M in Florida. So, a lot of pressure.
They're 17-9. They're solidly in. You know, they're on like the 6-7.
Let's say lose the rest.
They're on the 6-7 line. I mean, yeah, no. Look, if Kentucky finds themselves at 17-14, this thing could look a lot like Auburn's situation right now. But no, this is
you know what people in Kentucky call it, NIT, don't you? Not in tournament.
Not in the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, others call it no interest. tournament. So, we'd love for you to join in. It's Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio on this Friday. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybars. Come on in and join us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Uncle Ollie gets us started. What's up, Unc?
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all this evening?
All right.
Good. Hey, first of all, as far as basketball, I don't consider this Stephen Pearl's team. This is Bruce's team, so I'm going to give him a pass.
That's a great point.
I understand that he was on the staff, but this is not his team. And any other coach that came in, we would say, okay, this is not his team.
That's a good point.
I'm going to give him a pass this year, and we'll see next year when he has, quote, his team.
His players.
And then we'll go from there.
Makes sense.
Now it is interesting. Did Bruce consider that when he retired, that it would buy Stephen 2 years, essentially, you know, to retire when he did? Because you're right, Uncle Ollie.
I think there was some forethought.
I mean, that's just the way I look at it. I mean, I still think they'll make the tournament because I think the schedule lightens up towards the end, with the exception of Alabama. But, I'm fine with it as it is. Baseball, I think we are going to be really, really good. Throw out Cincinnati game. But our starting pitching, that rotation, oh, my God. They're going to win some games. If the hitting starts, those guys are going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I've had people ask me this week, like, is the baseball team a flop? Is the
after four games, and they're three and one. By the way, it's not like they're 1-3.
I've had people ask me, and it's like because the hitting numbers weren't overwhelming in three of those four games.
And if they don't light it up out in Arlington either, I'm still not concerned. I'm not happy, but I think these guys are going to hit Uncle Ollie. I want to see, and I liked what we saw from the pitchers this past weekend, but I want to see them against, you know, Power Four school. I want to see how they do. I think they have really good stuff. I just, you know, hope that that'll translate and people don't get, you know, too disappointed if a pitcher goes out and gives up three runs or something.
Yeah, well, I was a little bit disappointed in Dre the other night. He just seemed
still there.
Did we lose?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We lost you. He seemed what now? We lost you right then.
Tight. He seemed tight.
Well,
I don't understand it because he pitched in a regional game last year. Lights out against NC State.
Well, one thing I wondered about is, man, he never lit up the gun like he did the other night. He had 96 the other night. I didn't see that last year. So I wonder if he was you know, trying to muscle up a little bit too much.
Well, here's the problem is that when you reach the level he's at, they light you up. It's all you got is our fastball. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed because he's much, much better than he showed the other night.
But he still made it through four innings with just one run, you know, even though he didn't look
absolutely
the same. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and last thing, Dan.
What's up?
Hey, Dan. I was going to tell you that Coach Hicks actually got inducted into the All Sports Hall of Fame this week.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah, no, John Hicks, longtime Niceville High School coach, athletic director, widely respected guy. Coach was an Auburn guy, and Coach, you probably interacted
congratulations.
With Coach Hicks.
Yeah, I would tell you that he was inducted this week, and, of course, that's my brother-in-law, and I'm crazy proud. I'm crazy proud for him.
That's awesome.
That he was able to do that. And I just thought I'd let you know because we have that connection.
And his son-in-law, Tommy Joe, is doing a great job down at Mosley, head coach at Mosley High down in Panama City, and he's doing fantastic work down there. And they're a great family, and Coach Hicks is great guy, and the Widdens are tremendous people. Great to hear. Great to hear. Coach is doing well.
Tell him congrats.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. 334-321-1390. A couple of really good points there early on about basketball, especially that. Yeah, for people to it is just regardless of how he got the job. Anyone who takes over at the at the point of the season where it was that close to the season, when the players were brought in, you know, by someone else. Granted, I'm sure Stephen had more than a little input, was more than of a little assistance in bringing this team together. But still, it's different than when you're the head man putting together a team. So, we talked to Stephen today, and again, he pointed out. He said yesterday was the best practice this team has had. Said they're bound. He said you would have thought this team has won five in a row. And he said it's because not because of what he is saying or any lip service he's paying to what they can still do. He said, but it's because these guys really believe that they can still make a run. They can still make a run. They're talented enough to be able to go out and play with anybody that they have. You know, on the schedule.
What strikes you as like the primary issues defensively? Like what's?
I wish I knew. Yeah. And that's I think Stephen is sort of the same way. I asked him today. I mean, there was a lot of talk about, you know, three pointers, which obviously have been a problem with Auburn down there at the bottom, and you've got a Kentucky team coming in that's the best 3-point shooting team. But I asked him about what we were talking about the last couple of days about, you know, problems around the rim, Auburn not being able to finish, and Stephen said. I mean, he pointed that out. He said, yeah, because we hit 12 threes the other night. That wasn't the problem. The problem was defensively and then not being able to finish at the rim. That's, I don't know. There's, It just feels like it's different things at different times. At times you hear about closeouts and gaps and anticipation and you know, preventing players from getting the ball. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the specifics of, you know, what's expected on each set and when the ball comes, you know, into the front court, what each player's responsibilities are. And sometimes it looks like they're doing the right thing, but you know, when Steven starts breaking things down, it's obvious that they're not. But he said one thing we were also talking the last couple of days about Auburn's slow starts. And he pointed out that, yes, not only has Auburn been down 13 or more points in the first half in four of the last five games, which they've lost all five, but he said on the very first defensive possession of the last three games, Auburn has completely done well. They have completely blown their assignment on the very first defensive possession of the game. And he, you know, it's hard to know what do you do about that. You don't have five other guys you can put out there right now that you can do that. So, I mean, it's something that is, you know, it is, you think it's frustrating for the fans?
Yeah.
The coaching staff is going crazy trying to figure this out.
And that's not to excuse the coaching staff either, right?
Nope.
I mean, I thought there were, I mean, certainly Mississippi State, you know, felt like a game where you can second guess how much pressure you're throwing at Hubbard, mm-hmm. you know, how much you're trying to emphasize stopping him, how much you're trying to put pressure on other guys to shoot and make plays for State. So no, it's got to be frustrating to not be able to drill in on one thing and say, well, this thing's got to change, and then your 3-point defense will get better. It's gone wrong it's gone wrong in a lot of different ways that, you know, this late in the season. I mean, we are talking about jump shooting, so things can fluctuate wildly one game to another, but this late in the season, you wonder if you're going to have any kind of huge breakthrough from what you've been, or is the die cast when you're talking about?
True.
I mean, we're over 20 games into a 30 game regular season, pretty much. You know, you can see the finish line from where we are right now in the college basketball season. You know, if you're in last place in the conference in something right now, is it going to change too much between now and the end of the season? I mean,
it's hard to expect that you're gonna have a drastic change.
It'd be great news for Auburn, because I do think that the flip side of how bad it would get with a loss is if you win Saturday night and you snap the losing streak and you pick up another quad one win and you beat a tournament team with a couple weeks left in the regular season. Like I think you can. You can get back to feeling like the team you were earlier this year, and you've got some winnable games coming up on the schedule. I mean, it's like a lot of this can. I mean, you could snap out of it seemingly with a strong performance and a win. Like it kind of like
that's exactly what Steven said. We just got to get over that hump. Got to get over that hump, and I mean, get it done. When you're talking about being able to finish games, if they can do that and just it makes such a difference, Don. I mean, mentally, when you might tell yourself and try not to think negatively, but you've got to get to that point where you know that you're gonna do it.
Right. Confidence, belief, all those things. When you get on a losing streak, you know, you start questioning everything you do in practice, in meetings, in pregame, warm-ups, all those things. But you're right, Bill. They just need to get over the hump. And I think tomorrow night's a good opportunity for them. Now, Kentucky's not a fast-starting team either. They've been behind 15, 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
So
both of these teams.
Might be 0-0 at the 10-minute mark. But, but I feel like Auburn is a more desperate team for – and, you know, Saturday night game, if this game was 11 a.m., I'd really be concerned about Auburn just because. But it's going to be a, what, late game? It's going to be rocking.
Yeah.
It's the cancer shirt deal, which is a great cause. And they need to win. And I think You know, I think they'll take care of business.
That place will be ready at tip-off.
And Kentucky's now, coming to town.
Now, will it survive a slow start from Auburn and stay rocking?
Yeah. Like I said, it could be 0-0 10 minutes in the first half or whatever they play.
Hopefully not. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll talk a little with a little football news.
Yeah,
that we can talk about another decision. Hey, that going in the NCAA's favor. How about that?
Crazy. That's,
they're hot. They're like two of their last three. It seems like. All right, we'll get to our. Bottom of the hour break. Again, love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Friday Drive. At Game Day Men's Health in Auburn,
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. Interesting note I saw from Justin Hokinson. Hoke was over at Stephen Pearl's media opportunity today at 12:30, and then Stephen went over and spoke to the tip-off club, and Justin writing that Stephen answered a question about Keyshawn Hall, saying he would have made the same decision to suspend Keyshawn 10 out of 10 times, but then went out of his way to praise Keyshawn Hall as a person, saying he's a good kid, he loves him, but emphasized that his job, Stephen's job, is to help young men grow, not to simply let players slide in hopes of winning one basketball game. So, interesting comments there.
I'm sorry, Bill. I have nothing but respect for that. That's what you have to do. I know some people don't believe that, but as a former coach, as a parent, as anything, you have to have discipline. And sometimes you have to make examples, and sometimes you lose games.
Of good kids, too.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't mean
he's a bad kid.
That's exactly right.
No, everybody, good Lord, some of the mistakes I've made and things I've done, I mean, and all of us, yeah, he's a young man. He's still not an adult, even though, you know, he's grown man.
And Hall bounced back to play.
He really did.
Yes.
And Stephen praised him. Yes. For how he played. He played all 40 minutes and praised him for the way he played that entire 40 minutes.
Yeah, and we don't know what goes on. They're together every day, year-round. So, you know, it's easy to judge from the outside. But I have nothing but respect for Coach Pearl for what he did. And I mentioned that earlier in the year when he had some other problems that he took care of it. To me, that shows me he's a mature coach. And it's not always popular. And you may get your butt beat, but in the long run, it's going to help you.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, bud.
Hey, you know, I agree with that, and I respect what he did. But, you know, I have reservations that it should be a time and a place for it. And this wasn't the time. And, I mean, we know we're in the business of winning ball games. And that's how coaches lose their job. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay. I heard a click, so I thought maybe you guys hung up on me.
No.
not yet.
Well, no. Somebody else may be listening in, though.
Yeah.
Won't survive.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's right. Yes, Hector.
Where was I at?
Time and a place for things.
Yeah, time and a place. You don't want to make a decision that costs you a game.
Yeah. Coaches lose their jobs every day for not winning ball games. And this was a critical time of the year on that Arkansas game, guys. And look, if he'd have played that game, we may have won that game. Look where we'd be sitting right now.
It'd be a whole lot better. But the flip side is, in year one, if there is a situation that comes up where if you don't address this, you're going to lose control of the team, then that could be fatal.
I got an answer to that, Bill.
All right.
You know, we knew Keyshawn Hall, how his character was when he was at UCF. And that character should have been addressed at the beginning of the year. That way Hall would have known he was walking on thin ice from the beginning. Don't wait for a problem to come up and then address it. That's the way I feel about that. But,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think Stephen's tried to implement. I mean, that's got to be one of the challenges of year one is you know, figuring out how stern, how firm to be with his players. But I mean, yeah, I think you would hope that, you know, incidents like this don't pop up 20 games into the season with a senior. Yeah. But it did, and yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it shows some backbone. Even if, look, if you're deciding whether or not to keep Stephen Pearl as the coach at some point, if he's losing games, the fact that he's losing games because he's disciplining his players the right way isn't going to save him, right? Like he would have won these games if he hadn't sat these guys, so we're going to let him keep being the coach. That's not going, like, he's got to consider that too, you know, that he's got games to win. Like you said, that's the job. I think it shows backbone, character, to be willing to sit a guy to think that the issue rises to the level where this guy's got to sit for an entire game, a road game. Like, it shows Stevens some, like, it shows I don't know, some metal, you know. It shows,
yeah, some... I mean, and some coaches at times, I mean, in different sports, you felt like this player deserved to be suspended and they're not, and you wonder, you know, is the coach more concerned about getting that win than he is maintaining control of the team. I don't know. I mean, it's again, we still don't know the exact situation. And I'm trying to recall. I don't really recall any issues that Keyshawn Hall had at Central Florida. I mean, he was just known as a big time scorer, and that's what he was known for.
Yeah, I heard that about him. He had a character everywhere he went. He had a character flaw. You know, this next question is mostly for Coach Dunn. If Stephen and, you know, took over the team for Pearl, like you guys have already mentioned, he had a say in some of these players being played here. It's not like he came in here blindsided and didn't with a handful of players he wasn't familiar with.
No.
Right. Yeah. He definitely knew all these guys.
You'd hope he was involved with them. Yeah. You'd hope he'd had some role in the recruiting. It's still now. I still think that someone who wants to point out that Bruce Pearl assembled the roster, I think is probably being accurate when they say that.
Well,
Coach Dunn, let me
ask you this.
Yes,
do
sir.
You think on Sunday afternoon at the supper table that Bruce is not telling his son what to do, when to do it?
I think he's probably available if Stephen has questions or comments. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Let me refer you to Nathan King asked Stephen today. It's the first time I've heard him asked about how available is Bruce, and has, during these tough times, has he leaned on Bruce or gone to him for some consultation? And I was surprised. Stephen said, we talk about once a week, but he really knows the situation that I'm in right now, and he's leaving things be. But if I need help, I can go to him. I was a little surprised at that.
Yeah.
But to hear that he said he and his dad only talk about once a week.
Yeah, that once a week is Sunday dinner table.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure that if he has a question or a he would feel free to get a hold of his dad. I can't believe that they would not be discussing all this.
Yeah. Well, that's all I guys got.
Thank you.
Somebody's calling me. Got to go.
All right. Appreciate it, Spector. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can run a little bit of that for you. That's toward the end. We'll see if it's out there on Imogen. By the way, just to give you a little idea and I was trying to find if there had been any reports or anything of problems that Keyshawn Hall had. Look, he's been at four different schools in 4 years, but that's not that unbelievable these days. That happens, and he sort of worked his way, you know, up to a team that was in the Final Four a year ago, and I go back when I Google, one of the things that pulled up Keyshawn Hall in Central Florida, other than 40-point game here or there and things like that, was John Rothstein's report last year, this past spring, when Keyshawn made his decision, John Rothstein tweeted, UCF transfer Keyshawn Hall tells me he's committed to Auburn, saying, quote, I want to be coached by the best coach in the country, and that's Bruce Pearl. So, I mean, that is, you know, these players came here, and Bruce did, you know, put this roster together. Obviously, Steven and the staff. The rest of the staff has been here, and that's one of the things that, you know, was really talked about, that it's going to be a staff that had been working with these players, you know, over the summer as they headed up into the preseason.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, look, I think there have been questions about, like, Keyshawn Hall's consistently been on teams that struggled defensively.
Yeah.
He's been on teams that didn't win a ton of games. Like, those, you know, those things were mentioned when Auburn brought him in. But I don't think it was issues of, oh, he's doing things to get himself technical fouls or get himself suspended.
In trouble
or
with the, you know,
yeah, like,
with the coaching staff.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, that's why what happened last week was kind of surprising.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that it reached a point where they had to decide, you know, to, you know, the night before the game. It was right around now when we got the news.
It was a little after that.
We got the availability report Friday night. You were at the baseball game.
Yeah.
I call you and I say,
I saw it. I mean, I was calling to go, hey, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn Hall is not going to play tomorrow night, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's good for Auburn. We were saying you really didn't want that to extend into the Mississippi State game. Even though Auburn didn't win, you got to be glad to have that in the rearview mirror.
No, and the way Keyshawn, you know, was there at the Arkansas game and was involved, and you could see really looked like he was being very positive there, and it sounded like he had a great week of practice, and Stephen Pearl really praised him for the way he played. So, hopefully it pays dividends.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, Auburn didn't get the win that day, and then they lost the Mississippi State game, but I can't say it's because of what Steven did.
Yeah, you know, I love – oh, go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, I agree with Bill. You have to do it. It's going to pay off down the road. I firmly believe that. And you got to have discipline. You cannot run a program without it. And he'll be better off, both he, the young man, and Auburn. And it sends messages to other guys on the team, too. Don't think it doesn't. When you take the best guy and you sit him, you know who's running the show.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Still got another hour plus to go, so come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hey, everybody.
Cobb.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one here on this Friday with Bill, Dan, and Don. We'd love for you to join in. You heard the number there. Mentioned a little while ago a couple of football items. You want to?
I was going to ask what the baseball schedule is this weekend for folks.
7:30 tonight against Kansas State. Mm-hmm. So it should have a 7 o'clock pregame.
I think Brad's out there, right? Because they got Andy doing basketball this weekend.
Brad's got it by himself.
Yeah.
You know, he could probably they should have asked Tex to come up and help out.
Yeah.
Texas.
Get out there, Tex.
Yeah, he's there.
Warm up, Tex.
Yeah, 7:30 tonight against K-State. And then tomorrow afternoon.
He's got to be killing John Cohen not to be there.
Oh, you
right,
know
for
it.
The baseball.
You know
I mean, he's got some other stuff going on
this
week.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's Alabama gymnastics tonight, Kentucky basketball tomorrow.
Iron Bowl gymnastics tonight, and our pal We'll have Leon at some point talk about the gymnastics season, some of the women's sports going on, because mm-hmm. he's got his new Substack where he's covering a lot of the Olympic sports for Auburn. But yeah, between the gymnastics tonight and then the basketball tomorrow without Liv too, like there's John Cohen's got to make some appearances.
Steven had a nice long sleeve tee today and said he was pleased that there's long sleeve T-shirts available this year for Outlive.
Yeah.
So
that is nice.
Yeah, so he had that.
They've got some very cool stuff in the. I mean, the Sir Charles merch drop in the arena. You know, that stuff was flying off the shelves. I've seen people wearing that around town. I imagine the Outlive items tomorrow will be very popular as well.
Oh, you know it. So that is all going on. We'll get to a couple of interesting
Wings will have tonight's baseball game. Wings will have tomorrow's baseball. Wings will have tomorrow night's Auburn men's basketball. And does baseball play Sunday too?
Yeah, yes, they do. Yeah, Sunday. Sunday's Louisville. So Wings, Sunday morning, Louisville. It's tomorrow afternoon and then Sunday morning.
So as soon as we're
Florida
done.
State tomorrow.
And by the way, shout out to Larry Vickers and the women.
Yeah, how about that?
The win over
big
beating
win.
Missouri by 13 last night.
Second,
on the road.
Maybe Alabama did it too. I know of at least one other school in the state of Alabama that went up to Missouri this year and got a road win. So glad Auburn can join the club.
Detroit.
They showed that state, huh?
That's
the
right.
Show me state.
Showstoppers, yeah. Baby.
Right. Music's playing. That means we're halfway done. We're here at the top of the hour break. Back with hour number two, so come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive on a very pleasant, comfortable Friday. Looks like we could have warm weather through the weekend, so be ready for that and enjoy it if you can. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, our final hour of the day and week, and we were just talking. Don't know when we'll see Dan again after this hour. Maybe a midweek glimpse next week.
And I should be in early. The following week, because the Trojans look like they're not going to be heading to Pensacola.
Oh, that's one of those where the higher you finish, the more buys you get.
Yeah, so crazy to think, but the Sun Belt regular season in men's and women's basketball ends a week from tonight.
Wow.
They're finishing the regular seasons up. Everybody's got three games left on the schedule. I think some teams maybe just have two. But everybody's finishing up a week from tonight.
Well, I mean, you know, the SEC regular season is just 2 weeks
and then,
after this weekend.
And then you start, I think, the following Tuesday, the action starts in Pensacola for the lowest-seeded teams in the tournament. Because you got the ladder bracket. Where
so everybody's got a few days then. So it's not like somebody's playing Sunday and having to turn around and play Tuesday.
No, I think that's why they're playing Tuesday, Friday
next
week, is because there's the chance that some teams are going to have to get down to Pensacola and start playing like Tuesday morning.
Right.
And potentially stay there all week long, because that's how it works with the lower seed.
Hopefully, that's what all the teams are hoping, that if once they get there, they're there for a while.
So the top teams in the draw go straight to the semifinals on Sunday, and if they win, they're in the finals on Monday. That's the benefit
of
finishing.
So you've got a shot of have a good week, you know, close things out, and you don't play until the following Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, they've had and you're playing a team that played yesterday,
multiple games.
Well, yesterday for sure.
Right.
And then maybe before that too, depending on if they've been winning with no off days.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, the Sun Belt's got a bracket that I think is designed to really benefit the teams that had the best regular season.
As it should.
In conference play. Especially
when you're in leagues that are primarily or normally one bid leagues.
Yeah. I think there's a reason why the Sun Belt would want to send its best team to the NCAA tournament if you have a Cinderella. Mm-hmm. Like, as great as the Cinderella story is in conference tournament play, If something goes wrong, you know, you could suddenly have your champion as a 15 seed or a 16 seed. You know, I think that folks think that the Sun Belt champion in both men's and women's ball has a chance to be a 12 or a 13 in the NCAAs. You know, something like that, where you've got the chance to maybe pull off an upset. You know, I've heard people talking about Troy's men as a potential, you know, as a potential Cinderella if they can get into the NCAA tournament. So. It's exciting stuff, but I'll be gone most of next week, maybe back Wednesday, depending on the travel home from Jonesboro Tuesday night, and then off to Mobile early Thursday morning for the last game of the regular season on Friday. So some exciting stuff. Troy 3 wins away from a Sun Belt regular season championship. If they drop a game, it's not over, but they would need Georgia Southern to lose one. They need Georgia Southern to lose one between now and the end of the season too. And there's a chance they could even clinch, depending on like what happens this weekend, depending on what happens Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know, Troy could clinch in Jonesboro against Arkansas State on Tuesday night, first regular season title since 2022. If they pull this off, so yeah, really really rooting for it's a group of kids that haven't won a championship yet at Troy. Really hoping they can get over the top and hang the banner.
Yeah, well, good luck on the games and then the road trips next week. So maybe your last chance to talk to Dan for a week or so.
And it does feel like, I mean, this is a huge game for Auburn tomorrow night. Like, I mean, we were mentioning it.
No question.
I mean, it's. The losing streak is part of it. The NCAA tournament is part of it. The question of, you know, how Steven can recapture momentum if things slip away and this team doesn't make the NCAA tournament is part of it. Just, I mean, and stuff that you've, I mean, Coach, I like to say that in college basketball, like you are what you've been the last four or five games. You know, at some point you can talk about, well, in November we did this, and back in the first week of January we did. It's like, but you know, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
right. Janet Jackson sings that. You can hear it on the W. Lee.
Yeah, I would think Lee. Yes.
That's a W. Lee classic. I mean, yeah. What have you done for me lately as a basketball team? And for Auburn, like some of the, I mean, whether it's the 3-point defense, whether it's the. Whether it's fading at the end of games, you know, some of these things that have been trends.
Start of games, end of games, have been problems.
You got a chance to change
slow
things,
starts and rough finishes.
If those are problems tomorrow night, it's gonna you're in a world of hurt. Mm-hmm. after a loss to Kentucky. Not just because you're talking about a fourth home conference loss. Bill, you could have a losing record in conference play at home.
That's right.
I mean, if you were to lose to Kentucky, like you need to win your last two at home to avoid a losing record at home in SEC play. That's, which is unthinkable.
Yes, it is. For a decade it has been.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think tomorrow night feels like a very, very important regular season game for this season, for beyond this season, for this group, for this program. Like it's a really big one. You stand up and you get off the canvas and land a punch or two here. It would be really impressive. You get knocked out you're down for the count if you get knocked out in this one.
Yeah, so we'd love your thoughts on that. If we get a chance, we'll let you hear a little bit of Stephen Pearl. He had some really interesting comments today. We talked about some of those a little while ago, but we'd love your thoughts on tomorrow night's matchup. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise?
Should mention, and we haven't done a ton of Olympic stuff, with the closing ceremonies on Sunday. But I know people have been really, really getting a kick out of different things going on. And brace yourself. So I think they're going to show some of this. Like, how does it work? Do they show some of
this live during the afternoon, and then they replay some of the highlights and some of the other things as if they're live at night.
But it's not a spoiler, right? If I'm telling you something that's happened at the Olympics,
yeah, it might be. Might tell people if you're interested in
earmuffs.
Okay, all right. So here's what I would say is that, but for folks
because there's some people that don't want to know when they watch. So if you're one of those. Flip us off for like 30 seconds.
Get ready, yeah. And you're used to flipping us off, probably.
I realized that. Yeah.
But it's like so.
They do it for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. They're doing it for years.
There's
for
a guy right now outside.
Sunday morning.
7:10.
Sunday morning, 7:10 a.m. Central Time on NBC, USA versus Canada men's hockey for the gold medal. On Sunday. Mm-hmm. Gigantic. I mean, as big as you remember they did that the new sort of international challenge thing like pretty recently with the NHL because hockey players professionals had not been going to the Olympics recently because it's right in the middle of the NHL season. So they did that league, you know, the international challenge, and the USA Canada game was just I mean, it was
brutal.
It was a street fight.
Yeah.
And this, I just. So if you're into Olympic hockey at all, if you're into, this feels even bigger than hockey. Like this feels like a pretty significant, part of the Winter
and a great
Olympics.
Game yesterday. The women.
And the women, collecting the gold medal yesterday, but the United States advancing to the gold medal game on Sunday against Canada. That one's 7:10 Sunday morning. So set the alarm, set the DVRs.
Get your Bloody Marys and your jersey.
That's right.
And then right after that, it'll be Auburn baseball against Louisville.
Yeah.
Because they play Sunday morning as well. I think it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, something like that.
I think 10 or 10:30. Yeah, we'll get that finalized for you here before we are done this afternoon. So, that's going on. Wanted to mention a couple of football notes. I mentioned a while ago the NCAA picking up a decision in their favor today as a judge in Knox County Court in Knoxville denying Joey Aguilar's petition for an injunction to gain an extra year of eligibility. Mm. So that's twice this has happened. Obviously, Trinidad Chambliss got his extra year there in court just outside Oxford. But I think this one, there weren't any grounds, just I want another year for Joey Aguilar. It wasn't as though he missed a year of injury or anything like that. Or I believe he'd initially been in the Diego Pavias lawsuit, but decided he wanted to file his own lawsuit. And now it looks like Joey Aguilar's time at Tennessee is up.
Yeah, Aguilar only played 3 years of Division I football. I think that was the crux of his legal argument, was that he was trying to get junior college years. It was sort of Pavia-esque. Like he was trying to get junior college years not counted against his D1 eligibility and trying to get, I think it would have been 1 year left because he played, was he at App State 2 years and then 1 year at Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee, because remember he was going to UCLA and then ended up coming back to Tennessee.
Yeah, played a year in Pleasant Hill in California, and then 2 years at App State, and then 1 year at Tennessee.
But he has spent 7 years out of high school.
Yes, he was at a college. He was in.
So I could see where the judge would go. Enough's enough.
He was because he redshirted at a school, and then there was a season canceled at that school. 19 and 20,
and then 2 years of junior college, and then 2 years at App State and a year at Tennessee.
Yes, so he was. I think he was trying to get a fourth year of Division One.
But the NCAA had allowed one extra year for anyone who played junior college.
But just like the Bediako thing, because they'd made these exceptions in the past, people saw that as an opportunity.
But
he'd
already gotten that year.
I know. But it was sort of the challenge.
He wanted an extra year. He wanted both of his years in junior college. Yeah. To not count.
He wanted a fourth year of Division One football, and while I think it's understandable from a financial standpoint why a guy...
Sure it is. I understand why he wanted it, but I also understand why the NCAA went no, and maybe a little surprisingly, the judge agreed with the NCAA. So we will see, but I think that's another common sense judgment, I think, by the courts in this case.
And I think it is important that courts aren't swayed by, and again, I don't know, that's not trying to predict the future.
All courts aren't.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to predict the future, but that's a question of, like, if you're out of eligibility, can you say, well, the money that I'm going to miss out on by not being able to play college football, are those damages in the eyes of a court? Like I would say
not when enough time has passed that you would have had plenty of time to have done that.
Yes, because that's what Aguilar's attorneys were. They were trying to argue that I think the number that's been thrown around is $2 to $3 million. If Aguilar were to be able to play another year of college football,
well, you know what, I would have been a lot better off if I could have just stayed in school and had fun than having to be working for peanuts when I graduated too.
The thinking was that Aguilar.
But that wasn't to be.
If Aguilar was owed $2 to $3 million for another year of eligibility, like would keeping him from having that year of eligibility represent sort of financial harm and damages and things like
that. It's a shame, but it's not necessarily his right to be getting that after, you know, after his time is up. And that's what the judge, that's basically what the judge said.
Right, and the judge was not swayed by, and that's important.
Yes,
because,
it is, very.
Because if the damages, if not being able to play college football and missing out on the money because you can't play college football, if a court of law saw those as damages, suddenly a lot of other players would say, well,
sure,
what
they
about
would, but then you'd run into you'd have complete eligibility questions. It's like, okay, you've run out of things to take. Why are you even in school? It doesn't matter if you're in school. It's all about how much money you can make.
Yeah.
So then it becomes you really just eliminate the student from the student athlete completely if you did that. One other note, and I thought this one was interesting, and this came across about the time, a little bit after we came on the air, Auburn releasing, tweeting out, welcoming three more additions to the football staff, including the offensive line coach at the University of Alabama for the last couple of years, Chris Kapilovich, who has been he's a longtime college offensive line coach, was at Michigan State, Colorado, North Carolina, and Southern Miss before he was at Alabama the last couple of years. So a veteran offensive line coach who has a lot of experience coming in to assist Todd Hudanik there on the offensive line.
And Hudanik's in his first year, so having Kapilovich there as a guy that is seasoned and he's been around college football for the better part of the last 20 years, like it's got to be.
Yeah, he's been in college in college coaching since 1999.
I mean, and since there's no limit on the number of analysts you can have, there's no limit on the, and you would think that there's probably connections within the state, you know, when it comes to high school coaching and different things. Like, I think it seems like a pretty savvy move to be able to add somebody like that if it's at no real cost to your program.
Yeah, just the cost of whatever they're paying him. But I mean, I thought that was really interesting. All right, let's get to our first break here of hour number two. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love to hear from you as we continue with the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 90, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. We were just talking here during the break. I mean, interesting that Auburn adding Alabama's Alabama let Chris, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Is it Kapilovich?
I think you got it right. I think it's Kapilovich.
Okay, let him go in January, and he took a lot of the blame from people as to struggles with their offense. I really wonder a little bit. I mean, and, you know, it's not like Auburn's been doing anything great, but, I mean, when you look at it, Alabama's offensive philosophy in this league, I think, tends to be a little too pass-happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. SEC, got to run the ball. I say it every show. But you're right, and it's easy to blame.
I mean, there are certain times when you're going to have to be able to run the ball.
Run the ball, stop the run.
But yeah, we'll see. That was a very interesting addition to the Auburn staff as an analyst.
Well, I think it makes a ton of sense too when you're talking about a first year offensive line coach, rather than a guy who's
first year at Auburn. He's been
with Golish for a couple of years, but he's still a younger guy. He's making the jump to the SEC. I think having someone who's coached as much football as Kapilovich around makes a lot of sense. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, Kapilovic's sharpening the knives and waiting to jump in for Hudanik or anything like that. But I think it would make sense, you know, we just had people asking about how often does Steven rely on Bruce's wisdom and his wealth of knowledge. This seems like a wealth of knowledge here from Kapilovich for a younger guy like Tyler Hudanik to be able to tap into whenever he wants.
Yeah. Of course, let's see. Yeah. Tyler Hudanik has been with Golish since since 21 at Tennessee, and then to Central Florida, and then to
Hudanek went from playing college football to being an offensive line coach for D1
amazingly quickly.
Very quickly.
Yes.
I mean which is something, coach, you tend to like guys on the rise like that, right? Someone who got an early start, you know, someone who was a position coach very young in mm-hmm. life. Now, I know some guys can't do that because they extend their careers,
right.
their playing careers, you know, into you know, well into their 20s or 30s. Yeah. But if you can get a guy who was able to start that career early, you feel like you're getting in on the ground floor of something special.
Right. Young, enthusiastic, full of energy. That's what you want. And he's good, or coach wouldn't have brought him. I mean, coach knows he's coming to Auburn. And if he didn't feel like that young man could handle it, he sure would have went out and got somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was the yeah. O-line coach for 3 years yeah. under Golish and the run yeah. game coordinator for the last 2 years.
Yeah, so he knows what he's doing.
At USF.
Yeah.
So little bit of football news as we get closer to the start of spring practice.
Be here before we know it.
Yeah, indeed.
Good Lord. Baseball, softball, basketball, football, gymnastics.
It is a fun time.
Yeah.
It is a sort of crossover season. I mean, football, I mean, is
never
is,
ends.
always going to be keeping an eye on what's going on there. But yeah, I think there'd probably be more interest in this spring for a couple of reasons. I mean, it's sort of all right, here we go. We've got a restart. You've got 60 new players,
yeah.
Most of whom will be out there competing this spring. This is probably the most scholarship players that have ever been. Well, since you had unlimited scholarship mm-hmm. back in the 70s or something, most likely that are going through the spring. I mean, since you're gonna have 90 something players on scholarship competing this spring who are going to be around this fall, and that's the other big thing. There's no transfer portal after this spring. And that's one of the reasons that the last couple of years you'd seen de-emphasizing spring games, you know, coaches not wanting to put players out there to sort of showcase for mm-hmm. other teams. And now players can transfer.
Right.
But they're going to have to sit out a year if they transfer now at the
right.
end of the spring. So you feel, you know, as a coach, you feel much better about knowing what you're going to have heading into the fall
yeah.
than you have the last couple of years with the movement of the single transfer portal to back when we had it earlier this year.
And that's probably why you saw like an even busier December portal.
Yes.
They knew. Like Bill said, they can go, but they got to sit out now. So, yeah, they sense of urgency to get that done. On both sides, player and the coach.
There was no sense of like, well, I'll wait it out at this
and
place.
See what happens in the spring.
I think you saw, especially with first-year head coaches,
right.
you know, some players might have been more willing to see, you know, give it a spring and see what
yeah.
happens. And
yeah,
then, and
had there been a second transfer portal, Auburn probably wouldn't have had as many players go in.
But there wasn't one.
But they did, but now they've been able to replenish those spots as well.
Yeah,
so you're in a better situation as you head into, you know, going through winter workouts and into spring ball.
And you don't have to worry about losing these players after the spring
yeah.
portal, you know, after spring practice is over, losing
yeah, them. Yeah, to me, that's devastating to lose a kid after he's been through your whole spring practice,
yeah. well,
winter workouts, and then, boom, he's gone.
I think a lot of coaches were correctly asking, like, well, what is spring practice for? Is it
right.
so – Is it
to let everybody else see what we have?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand why coaches are saying if spring practice is just going to be you auditioning for other teams in the spring portal window, I'd rather not have a spring practice.
Right.
And that's,
and that's basically what happened.
You know, I still think a lot of coaches would like there to just be not necessarily spring practice, but have OTAs, you know, in the summer leading up,
like
so it's more
pros,
continuous.
Yeah.
Right. Go yeah. through and have workouts yeah. and things like that, but you don't really have to have
right.
The spring practice the way it's
right.
been, and then really extend the prep time leading
yeah.
up to the season.
Yeah, that's an option probably they're looking at. I've heard a lot of people talk about that.
Not nearly as much since we moved the transfer portal.
Exactly. It was a big topic last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was crazy because you're having to bring in players – You're losing players and having to bring in more players, and you don't have any extra time to prepare them leading up to the season.
You don't really know what they can do in person. You know, it's weird.
Yep.
Or was weird.
Well, it's still weird. There's still some things that need to be worked out.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
That we talk about every week.
Look, I mean, and here we are. We've already seen the playoffs be extended by a week. They've added an open date in between round one and round two of the playoffs. And it's going to be, you know, the end of January now. I think it's January 25th or 26th the next year is going to be your championship game. When there is plenty of time for them to condense that, but that's not what TV wants.
Right.
And that's, look.
More.
Whatever generates revenue is what's driving this vehicle.
More.
I mean, look, that's, and it can't be any other way. I mean, right. when your biggest concern right now is we've got to be able to have more money to pay the players. It's not, you know, it's not about, We need money for facilities anymore. I mean, I guess it's almost to the point where what you got facility wise.
Did you see the? I mean, I guess this is on the arms race and who ultimately bears the brunt of those costs. Did you see the story about the Oklahoma fans that went on? This is from the last like week or so that it's a tweet from an Oklahoma fan who said, quote. You can tell me how outlandish this sounds. Quote, my sister got a call from Oklahoma and was informed that their seats are transitioning to box seats and they can keep them for a $3,500 donation per ticket plus the season ticket costs of approximately $750 per ticket per game. That's about.
It was already probably going to cost them the $750, but they're going to have to pay $3,500 per seat. To keep their seats.
That's about $22,000 a year. Our family has had these tickets since the 1940s.
Yeah,
and it's you know other people are saying like this is coming to a school near you potentially. Mm-hmm. You know the schools are looking for ways to pay for this, and generally speaking, decision makers don't give themselves pay cuts in these.
You're right about that. I mean, and you're hearing about different schools. I haven't seen what Auburn's doing, but as far as advertising on the uniforms and things that you haven't seen. I mean, hopefully it doesn't. You know, the uniforms don't start looking like NASCAR uniforms. I mean, nothing against those, Spector. But I mean, it just would look a whole lot different with a football uniform that's got nothing, but different ads all over it. I guess, players would like to have their sponsors on there as well. You know, so you could have individual and team sponsorships on your uniform. You know, on the shoulder pads or on the thigh pads. I don't know. What do you think about that, Don?
Yeah. STP, remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mellow Yellow.
Yeah. Skull Bandits.
Yeah.
Driving the skull truck.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Let's stop in this part of the silliness. We've got another half an hour to go. Plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
.382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. I'm not crazy about that. They're always looking to get you one way or another. My goodness. We'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts. What do you think about tomorrow night? Auburn, Kentucky. Any of the we'll take a look at all the games around the SEC this weekend as we're heading into the final 2.5 weeks.
How are you feeling about tomorrow night?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that this team has packed it in.
Oh no, you don't play the way they did in the second half against State.
So I mean, there
and that was important. I think that if you'd seen. Give up in this team in the second half
of that ball game when they're down 16, they'd have lost by 25 or 30.
If it had never gotten close.
No.
You'd have wondered if this.
No,
team
I'd have felt like, okay, that's it. Mm-hmm. They packed it in. They're ready to look at their options from this point.
To speak your parlance, Coach, stick a fork in them, right? I mean,
yeah.
they're done. They're
yeah.
done.
But I don't feel that. And again, you know, I don't know. I mean, when Stephen Pearl was talking about how the energy that these kids have, and they still believe that they can still get something special done, they can compete with anybody. Yeah, they can play with anybody they have left on the schedule.
Easy.
They can, but they've got to somehow. They've got to go ahead and get over the hump, get that win, get a big win here, and get off of this losing streak, stop this thing.
Yeah.
And it would be so much more beneficial if they can do it against a Kentucky.
Yeah.
Than, I mean, not taking anything away. Is the trip to Oklahoma next? Is that
yes.
midweek next
yeah.
week? Yeah. I mean, that's not going to be easy because Oklahoma's been playing better. But no matter what, you'd feel better if you could go ahead and get it over with now. You don't want to be on a six-game losing streak going to Oklahoma.
Right.
I mean, get over it now. Get a quad one win. Get it under your belt.
Saturday night, or Tuesday night, by the way.
So, everything is late, it feels like, from this point on.
But it's a quick turnaround to go from playing late Saturday night.
Saturday night to Tuesday night on the road.
At Oklahoma, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're talking about probably an early morning.
Yeah, it's not next door.
You're probably leaving for, you know, Monday morning. Right, for a game at Oklahoma on a Tuesday night. So I mean,
yeah, I'll probably go out there and practice Monday afternoon somewhere.
I mean, but I'm thinking there. Yeah,
it's a late night, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, be over Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah, Auburn's one of the late games along with Texas A&M and Oklahoma tomorrow night. I mean, but for Oklahoma, they're at home.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at 7:30 and then turn around and get to play at home. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday night. Here's your schedule in the conference. Tomorrow, the first game of the day, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, is Florida at Ole Miss. That's on ESPN. Noon on the SEC Network, Mississippi State at South Carolina. there's a ton of interest in that one. At big ball game at 1 o'clock Ooh. As Tennessee is at Vandy tomorrow at 1 o'clock on ESPN or shortly thereafter since you've got an 11 o'clock game on ESPN. Why does ESPN keep scheduling these games 2 hours apart?
Because they want to I think they like the idea that you're tuning in to watch your game. And
you're going to catch the last – You know,
30 minutes.
No, you're going to catch the last 2 or 3 minutes, most likely.
And then you pray it doesn't go overtime.
Maybe a lot more than that.
2:30 on the SEC Network, Texas is at Georgia. That's a pretty big ball game there. Both those teams are, you know, still have plenty of postseason. Texas playing well. I think they've won 5 straight now. And Georgia, of course, coming off that big win at Kentucky. As they head back to Athens to host Texas.
Texas still with an outside shot to finish as one of the top 4 teams in the conference.
Absolutely.
Which nobody thought.
No.
You know, I mean, with Sean Miller in year one, I mean, that's a Texas team. I mean, if they'd beaten Auburn, remember how they were playing in the first half of that game in Neville? If they'd be
second right now.
They would be in second place right now. They'd be part of that crowded group of 9-4 teams in second place in the SEC. So, yeah, very impressive first year for the Longhorns. And a win tomorrow, you know, gets them – how about, they're closing in on a winning record in SEC play. And they were 6-12 last year. I mean, closing in on a winning record in SEC play in Sean Miller's first season.
Yep. The next game on ESPN, again, scheduled for 3 o'clock. Another pretty interesting, Missouri at Arkansas. Missouri with a pretty good record, but who have they played? I mean, their strength of schedule not that high, but Arkansas is a really talented team. And, you know, how much is Acuff going to go off for this time?
Jeez.
He's really, really good. Like, I mean,
he's not just in the in the lead for freshman of the year, but I mean, he's right there for player of the year in the conference.
Yeah, he's one of the top options on the board for SEC player of the year. Filon's probably in that category as well.
Yes, indeed.
With the season he's having, the way he's played of late, but no, Arkansas. What and unfortunate that they dropped that game midweek because I would have loved to have that winner take all game.
Yeah, they'd have just been a game back.
And they have a game against Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida's still got Arkansas and Kentucky. So, I mean, it's not as though
– Arkansas is at home. Is Kentucky at home?
They're going to Rupp. Last game of the season, Florida's at Rupp. So, I mean, there are still games there's still losable games for Florida where this thing could slip away and they could find themselves sharing the conference title. The path to someone else, like Florida's two up with five to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're three wins away from a championship,
right?
In the conference regular season. The thought of like Florida's not going 2-3 and
no,
one of these
I
teams winning
they
out,
are.
Like
no.
you think like that would be just a. You know, that'd be a remarkable way for Florida to finish up. So it looks like if you had Florida winning the regular season title this year, you're in pretty good shape.
And I thought they'd be pretty good heading in. I mean, they were my favorite heading in. Even though they didn't look as good early on, but they've been much better.
Well, I had to replace some of last year's team, including that. And Walter Clayton was
yeah,
so,
he's more than
so
just
amazing.
A simple piece to replace.
But I think they've started to figure things out, and they still have they still have a front court as good as just about anybody's in college basketball.
Mm-hmm. The other games in the SEC at 5:00 on the SEC Network. Alabama is in Baton Rouge. There'll probably be as many Alabama fans there as there are LSU fans for that ball game. Then the two late games. 7:30 on ESPN is the Auburn-Kentucky game, and at the same time on the SEC Network, Texas A&M at Oklahoma. And A&M was able to finally get off that losing streak they had. Oklahoma looking to, you know, try to continue their better play of late as they host the Aggies in that other 7:30 game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing, I mean, the like we were saying with Florida, the race for the regular season title is... I mean, you need Florida to start losing to get this thing to become more interesting, you know, especially if you're, you know, one of these other teams trying to break back into that, you know, Kentucky or Arkansas, something like that. But no, it's teams jockeying for position. Just a couple games left in the regular season, and you don't want to be a team in position now to make the tournament who lets that slip away.
So yeah, that's tomorrow night at 7:30. Meanwhile, tonight. At 7:30, it is the Auburn baseball against Kansas State as Jake Marciano, who was so impressive in his first start, the lanky lefty. I wouldn't call him crafty. He brings it as well, but wasn't in the decision, but just gave up one run, 12 strikeouts, and no walks in his Auburn debut going against a right-hander for Kansas State. James Guyette won his first game, but you can tell that Kansas State has had the bats going. He's 1-0 with a 7.2 ERA.
Want to see some of Auburn's, beside the guys that you were really excited to see coming back from last year, Chase and Bub, and Chris is still out. Probably
yeah,
not
Chris
see
is
him.
Out. They hope he may be back next week.
I get the feeling with Chris, too, like, because it's non-conference play, they're not in any real hurry to rush things. They want to get him back when he's when he's ready. If we were in SEC play right now, there might be more urgency to get Chris back out there. But in non-conference play, you know, it gets you a chance to take a look at some other guys and test out some new lineups. But I think between Chris and Bub and Chase and Eric back from last year, like I think you feel pretty good about what you've got there. It's a lot of other guys where you're sort of wondering who's gonna.
Wonder Kincaid be healthy? Yeah. Can he stay healthy for a full year? You know, how's he gonna do?
Would love to see the lawnmower man.
Yeah, Todd
start. Todd get swinging again. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some. Is he still looking for his first hit?
He's still looking for his first hit, and that's one of those things, man. When you start the season and go two or three games without a hit, that's when it's hard not to be pressing. So you'd love to see him go ahead and get a couple of knocks his next time out. So that's the matchup tonight. Tomorrow afternoon, Jackson Sanders, who was also very impressive, didn't get a decision, gave up one run in six innings. We'll go against a Florida State right-hander who is coming in with early on, these numbers can be so good or look so bad and mean little, if anything at all. Bryson Moore, no record for Florida State with a 16.2 ERA. But that could be something like, he may have only pitched part of an inning, giving up a run or two. Don't know how many innings he's thrown. And then Auburn will go with Alex Petrovic again on Sunday morning against Louisville. And Louisville's going to go with a senior lefty who is off to a pretty good start, 1-0, and didn't give up a run in six innings his first time out. So Auburn will be facing a proven guy on Sunday there. But, yeah, looking forward to the baseball this weekend out in Arlington. All right, we'll go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time to get in if you'd like as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
Basketball season is here. While your favorite team is fighting for rebounds, our
call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment here on the Friday Drive. Another just nice day. I mean, we got a little rain. We needed it. But this has been really an amazingly comfortable week here for the middle of February.
Getting ready.
I'm telling you. It's just amazing. So, Dan, I know you're about ready to get headed. You head out Sunday, then you go to Jonesboro. Is that what you
said? Yeah, so I've got a Troy game tomorrow, senior day, as the Trojans have
Southern Miss.
You got senior day tomorrow. You got softball Sunday, and then you hit the road, right?
Yeah, it's busy at Troy right now. They got men's women's basketball going on. They got baseball going on, and they got a softball tournament this weekend. So I'm stepping in and coming out of the bullpen to call a game Sunday for ESPN Plus. I'm going to do Troy and I think it's Furman. Probably should before the game. I should learn.
I need to know your home run call. I mean, I know you used to be working on your three point.
What was your home run call when you were a baseball player? Okay, I'll steal that. All right, there it goes. I got it. You know, here's the thing. I gotta resist the urge to not impersonate Barry. Right, whenever you're doing Troy.
That's true.
And there it goes. Gotta find a way to.
The Johnny Carson or Barry McKnight.
That's sort of
a Barry Carson is what that one was.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a Barry, it's Johnny Kasem.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, there we go. Get a little Casey, too. That's right.
Half Johnny, half Casey.
Beach there. This time.
Here's a letter.
I'm looking forward to doing that. And then, if things go well, Saturday, Trojans maybe playing for a championship Tuesday night against Arkansas State. That's an Arkansas State team still in the hunt. For the championship as well, so I mean they're just a game back of the Trojans, and then South Alabama to close the season a week from today, and then everybody's looking at Pensacola, mm-hmm. and it's crazy to think conference tournament season.
Be here before
Man,
we
tell
know
you
it.
That there could be so many places, so many worse places than being in Pensacola at this time of year.
Yeah, I've heard some griping from places. Well, I think it's from folks.
Who?
I think it's folks that have to come from really far away.
Where would they rather be though?
That's my thing. Is I mean we could be closer to a major airport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean it could be in Atlanta. I'm fine with Pensacola, and I think the kids really get a kick out of it. I think it benefits Troy and South Alabama and Southern Miss probably a little bit more than the other programs around because it's easier for those programs.
Easier access for their alumni base
and fan base. So it's like JMU and Arkansas State fans that don't like how long it takes them to get to Pensacola.
What's near Jonesboro?
And there were a ton of Arkansas State fans there last year. So
why
so
not? I mean, I Snowbird.
If you could get out of there and
that's
go.
That's not kidding, man. Go to the beach.
And I've made the appeal before. I'll say it for folks listening right now. Like if you get the opportunity to drive, you know, if you're in the Pensacola area. And you get
that's
a chance
a nice
to go.
Facility.
Oh, go yeah, go to go
good
to the base
basketball.
Center. Go to the base center and see some and general admission seats. I mean, you can get pretty close to the action. Like it's a lot of fun. Always enjoy getting to go down to Pensacola. I find myself at the arena like more than just for the Troy games.
Right.
I want to watch as much of it as I can.
That's great. Well, good luck.
Yep. So what's on tap for you this weekend?
What are you spritzing this weekend, Coach?
This looks like not a bad weekend to be.
I'm going to cook it at home. I'm going to do a big hen. I've got marinating right now, or brining, I should say, in my salt water and brown sugar, and then just lay low. Donna's getting ready for pine straw for another 2 weeks.
Boy.
So she's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
season's coming.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, you feel like you need to be getting stuff. You're already seeing, you know, forsythias blooming all over the place.
She's
got
to put a couple of sheets out tomorrow night on her flowers.
Oh, because it's going to be cold. Going to be things are starting to bloom, and you're not going to have that freeze. It's going to come.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen.
Absolutely, always does. You know, I'm just looking forward to basketball tomorrow. Watching as much of the baseball as I can. I told you guys before we came on, I got tickets for the next concert.
Awesome.
That we're going to. This is a biggie. I've never seen The Boss. And
when is it? When's he in Atlanta?
May 2nd at State Farm with the E Street Band. I mean, gonna be there. Looking forward to that one. That's sort of gonna be the
that'd be a bucket list.
Present. Yeah, that's one. I mean,
tell you what, with a lot of, and I'm just getting traffic alerts here on the phone. Yeah. So with a lot of people in town this weekend, you know, Auburn, Kentucky tomorrow night, Iron Bowl of basketball, you know, gymnastics action tonight, a lot going on. Be alert, be aware.
Yeah, there's some serious traffic. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, be you know, be careful out there.
Yep, for sure.
It's gonna be a busy one in Auburn.
Yep. So. So a lot coming up this weekend. You've got on Wings 94.3, got baseball tonight, and then baseball and basketball tomorrow, and then baseball again on Sunday. And so Don,
I'll see you Monday.
Hope you'll be back in Monday. Brian Matthews will be in here with us on Monday as we look back at the weekend at you know, Auburn and all the other, you know, the stories that need to be, you know, addressed.
Michigan
after this
and
weekend.
Michigan and Duke tomorrow. Yeah. How about that?
Michigan, Duke, Houston, Arizona as well.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, and
isn't that weird?
I've heard there's been talk that ESPN wants more big non-conference college
this
basketball.
Time of
sure,
years.
They do.
In January and February, they don't want it during football season. They want it in January, February. It's just so weird to have to divert from playing conference.
Yeah, no
play,
kidding.
You're in the fight of your life in a conference, then you got to go play Michigan or Duke.
Yeah, and I mean, and it'll be, look, Duke, Michigan will be awesome tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Great
what,
for them schools.
Now, great for college. Well, I think
it'll be great for fans.
One versus three and two versus four,
I
right?
Hope Duke, I hope like Duke that, gets but, killed. I still hate Duke and Chris and Leitner.
The Kentucky fan gonna be a tough call then for you this weekend?
No, I honestly told somebody earlier, I think one of the young men before, I really feel like Auburn will take care of business. Mm-hmm. Their backs are against the wall. They've had a lot. They listened to all that crap all week. And Kentucky's not a great team, guys.
Well, we will see. That's going to do it for the Friday Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.